Oh, it was bad. It was bad. We set up our tent the night before the race, the day before the race, and put everything in there. And then a snowstorm hit, and it collapsed the tent. It was not a pretty sight. And then they said it was going to, they said a dusting. I don't know what their terminology of dusting means for them, but that was a little bit more than a dusting, okay? Yeah, and the weight of it, because we woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and you couldn't even see out the window. It was a blizzard. And it had stopped, and the sun came out. But now the sun is out, and it's a mud fest, okay? Because everything started melting, more or less. And it was just bad.
Hey, welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance in running and in life. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultramarathon runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation is going to go. So if you're ready, let's get started. My guest this week is Isla Allen. If you are on Facebook and a member of any of the ultramarathon running groups, you might recognize Isla. She posts a lot of her comments and commentary and the things that she is doing as a training on a lot of the Facebook groups. And oftentimes she will show up at races and people will recognize her. So I talked to Isla way back in episode number 16 when I was just getting started. And remember a great conversation, and I wanted to catch up with her and have her share kind of what has been going on in her life this last year or so. Had a great conversation. Hope you enjoy my conversation with Isla Allen.
My races started in 2016.
Oh, really? Okay. So did you start running about that time?
I started running, if I'm 65 minus 11... 11 years ago.
So. Okay. So it was, but it wasn't like, I talked to some people, it's like, yeah, I've been running for 40 years, so.
No, I started running 11 years ago this January.
Okay.
This past January.
So what was the thing that said, I think I want to go out and run?
What got me started basically was I was overworked, overstressed, I gained a lot of weight, and it was basically the stress. So my brother suggested that maybe I should get out and run. I'm like, why? I'm like, I run from my car to my house. I mean, what else you want me to do? But for health reasons, but it was mainly to alleviate the stress. I was working full time, adjunct part time, and in graduate school at the time.
Okay. So if I remember from our last episode, were you an adjunct? You were a teacher, a professor?
Yes, I was a professor, and I taught undergrad and graduate classes.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a lot of stress. I mean, just I would imagine all of the stuff that you had to do to keep up with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, but you know, it goes with the territory. You know, you get used to doing it, and it becomes routine. You know, like anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get into that mode, whether it's good or not good. You adapt.
Well, it was interesting. You had somebody in your life who. I know that there are a lot of times when I've been doing things that aren't healthy, I need somebody on the outside to come and tell me, maybe you should change something. And at least you had your brother to come and help you with that.
Yeah, he ran a few races here and there, and he was telling me, you know, maybe you should get out and, you know, try to run. That'll help. I'm like, that's just going to make me more tired. And one day I decided just to finally get up, and I did it. I hit the gym, and I was running in circles. Because we have an indoor track, and that got to be a bit much. It was like just round and round and round. I'm like, why? And so then I got on the treadmill, and that was even worse as far as I'm concerned. And so I said, no, only thing left is to go outside. And this was in January. So we can't use.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know the winters we have here in Chicago. So, and yeah. It was butt kicking cold out. And I'm surprised I could even move because I look like the abominable snow woman because I had like 800 layers of clothes, not knowing I didn't need all of that, but I did not know about gear. You know, I'm just want to, you just saw my nose. You know, I just want it to be warm. Okay. And then I came outside and I'm like, you know, this is not too bad. And then I kept doing it and I trained for my first, what is it? My first 5K. And and I thought I was going to die, but I did it. And then I got hooked and went to a 10K and then went from 10Ks to half marathons, which that was my jam. You know, I thought the half marathons were it. Again, I'm still new to it, so I don't know what other races are out there. But also, you know, I'm a researcher. So, you know, I get online. I'm like, ooh, marathon? So I volunteer with my running group that's here in Evanston. And we have like one of the largest presence at Chicago Marathon. We have hundreds of members that come out and we have like maybe something like 20 or 30 aid stations that we do, I think. So I volunteer.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah. We're one of the largest supporters in aid stations of the Chicago Marathon. We have people from everywhere. And our members, we recruit people from the community, but they all come underneath the auspice of Evanston Running Club. And I volunteered for that. And I won't forget it was 2012 because my brother ran it. So I was like excited because I knew I would get to see him. And the excitement, you know, passing out the water. I did the water. I didn't want to do Gatorade. That's sticky. And I did the water.
Good choice.
Exactly. The highlight was seeing the elites come through because, you know, you when you see them on TV, they blink, you know, but to see them in person was so cool. The men, the women, and the push chairs, which is just fabulous. And then and when I saw my brother, you know, that was like my heart. You know, I finally saw him coming over the hill. Like, where is he? Again, not knowing how long this takes you to get there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know I couldn't have missed him because I'm standing here waiting. And finally, I spotted him coming over the hill, and I ran to him, and I was bringing Gatorade water. I had chips underneath my arm. Like, you're like, well, you know, what do you need? And, you know, he was fine. And I got back to my table, and some of my run buddies were there. We should do this next year. They're like, yeah, right. And so we all drank the Kool-Aid. And that's what we did. We did 2013, Chicago.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's before it had gotten to the point where it was, what do you call it? When you have to sign up for it and you have to wait.
A lottery?
Yes. It wasn't a lottery then, okay?
Okay.
But you had to get on there. And I think it took me like 3 hours just to get in, okay?
Okay.
But it wasn't a lottery at the time. So I did it. I thought I was going to die. And I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm not doing this anymore. And I just went back to what I call regular running. You know, my half marathons, like I said, they became my jam. And then another friend hit me up. You ought to come to Milwaukee with us and do the marathon. I'm like, why? And it'll be fine. We can stay with my brother and da-da-da-da-da-da. So I drank that Kool-Aid. I'm like, you know, Kool-Aid runs through my veins, not blood, okay? And I did that again. It was hot. Again, still not there with gear per se. You know, I had the shoe thing down right. So that's what, but I didn't know about how hydration, didn't know about food. So I had nothing to sustain me for 26 miles, you know. I would pick up a chip or something on the way. But again, I couldn't, and I knew I couldn't eat the sugary stuff because I was a type 2 diabetic. So I knew I had to watch the sugar levels, okay?
Okay.
But I made it through. And I know, you know, I dragged, and now that I look back, I was under fueled. I had no energy, so I'm surprised I didn't roll down the hill at the time. So fast forward a little bit more, I started reading. Runner's World, and this article about this guy. He had been hit by a car, and he could no. He was pissed off because he couldn't run at his marathon time that he used to do, which was probably something. My shadow doesn't even run that fast. And he was complaining that, you know, oh, I'll never be a 2:32 or a 3 whatever marathon. I'm like, really? I don't breathe that hard, okay?
Yeah.
And his friend told him, why don't you come over to ultra running? It's totally different. The community is different. I'm like, what is an ultra? I'm like, okay. So I did my research. I'm like, beyond a marathon?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people who still don't know there's distances farther than a marathon. No,
because at the marathon, that was it, okay? And I was one of those people. Again, I'm not in the running scene per se. And don't forget, I started when I was 54. So therefore, I was not exposed to running at all. So I learned this, you know, as I go along. And I found out that there was an ultra right here in Chicago. It's called the 50-50. It's on the lakefront. It's a 50K and a 50 miler.
Okay.
I'm like, okay.
Do they run them back? Do they run them back to back, or you can? Are they run consecutively?
They run at consecutively. Yeah. So you can choose which race you want to do. And
because there are some races that they do, they'll start. I mean, like you run a 50K one day, and then you do the 50 miler. No, the second
they
day.
Take place on the same time.
Okay. Yeah.
And of course, the 50 milers they start earlier than the 50K do. And it's a 5-mile loop. So I'm like, oh, okay, another circle run. And again, I know nothing about hydration or anything, but I told my BFF, who happens to live in KC in Missouri, and I told her, I said, I think I want to do this 50K. She's like, are you smoking something? Are you doing something you need to tell me about? That did you fall and hit your head? I know you don't have much air. I'm like, wow. Thank you, friend. I said, no, I want to do this. You know, I really want to do this. And she says, okay, if you are crazy enough to do it, I will train with you. So we train virtually together. Okay. We figured out our schedule, and we checked in every day with each other. And she flew in, and she stayed with me. And we ran that race together. And that was in 2016. So that was my first 50K.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe I finished it, because I have never done anything that long ever in my life. Okay. I thought the marathon was it. And when I found out.
How'd you feel going those? I mean, a lot of people, you know, some people have kind of said, well, it's only another, what?
Only
five
another
miles,
5-6 miles. Right. That is the wrong attitude to take. Okay. I didn't go in there like that, but I said, okay, I can do these 5 loops. And I trained for this. I went down to the site, and I'm like 20 minutes away from where the race takes place, so I can run down there. And that's what I was doing. I ran down there. It's very convoluted down there. It's crowded, especially in the summertime. All the kids and you got the people training for other things down there. So it's just too crowded down there for me. I don't run down there anymore. But I figured I'm going to run the course. You have the availability to run the course, so you're going to go run this course. And when I hit the marathon part in terms of training, I'm like, oh, you're not done, because you got to go further than this to complete this race. I'm like, okay, so where am I going to get that from? Now, at this time, I just had water, okay? Not knowing I need electrolytes and I need to have some snacks and all that stuff, okay? Again, I'm still new to this, okay? And I'm like, okay, this is not good. But I end up doing it. My family and my friends came out. I had like a posse who was out there for me. And I told them, I don't know.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I said, I don't know how long I'm going to be out here. I said, but I'm going to be out here. If you guys need to leave, when I come back into the start-finish line, if you got to go, just tell me bye, because I'm going to come in and I'm going to go right back out. And they had me cracking up. Yeah, when you first came in, your first two loops, you're like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? And the second loop was like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? The third loop was like, hey.
Yeah.
The fourth loop was like, silence. They had me rolling. They said if they could have just like taken a video at each, each iterative me coming through, they said they were like rolling. And they were not, they didn't laugh until I left, okay?
But, well, that's at least helpful.
You know, but they had me cracking up. And but I finished it, dragged my tail in, got my medal. And for me, it wasn't about the medal. It was about finishing. You know, I had never been that far before. And I'm like, wow, I did this. I think I'm going to do this again. Well, I skipped from the 50K and I jumped straight into a 50 miler.
Okay.
So that following, that was 2016, October. Yeah, that following year, I had two 50 milers back to back.
Wow.
Yeah, but I did Hennepin, which is in October. And then I did Pottawatomie, which is in November, I do believe. Pottawatomie was
not... So within a month of each other.
Yeah. I figured I was already trained up. How bad could it be?
So now your training is on more groomed trails, isn't it? I mean,
my training is on pavement.
On pavement, okay.
Yeah.
Was it like making the jump to 50 miles as well as trails?
Well, you know, the trails, I was scared of tripping and falling because I had, you know, I'm like running dirt, really? But when a friend of mine took me out there to give me a feeling of what the trail would feel like underneath my feet, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Because I had no idea of running on, today I ran on pavement, okay? I go on trails if I'm with a buddy. I won't go on trails by myself. It's just, I don't think it's safe, okay? So, and I'm like, this is trail running? He says, well, you know, you got to watch your footing. But, you know, he says, yeah, this is it. And he says, there's different levels of technicality, okay? But it depends on where you're at. You know, I had no idea Chicagoland area had trails, okay? I thought everything was, you know, sidewalks and pathways, you know? So this was totally new to me. And went out there and slowed me down because I wasn't used to watching my feet like I normally don't have to when I'm on my path out here. But once I got familiar with it and, you know, tripped and almost saw my life go away, you know, you learn how to plant your feet. I learned how to basically run with my eyes. Because I was told that your feet go where your eyes go. Your feet know what to do. So if you see a stick coming up, you don't have to look down to jump over. You see it. Your feet will adjust accordingly, you know. So I had to learn that because that was very odd.
Yeah, that doesn't come natural to people because I think, your tendency is to look at the rocks and – you know, and the sticks, and so you're looking. I need to avoid those obstacles, instead of you look at the space in between the rocks, and so you're looking for looking for the best path. Where am I going to plant my foot?
It's
a whole different mindset when you're going. And so that's I think everybody who runs trails has to either figure that out intuitively or have someone tell them, don't look at the things that you don't want to step on because wherever your eyes go, your feet will.
Exactly. And I had to learn, even now and then, I still tend to catch myself. I can just take a look at the survey and keep going. If it's extremely rocky or something, I will look down because I don't want to roll my ankle or anything. But if it's just regular dirt or something, I'm all that mulchy stuff, I'm pretty good with that. So that's okay. So that's what got me into the trail running and the ultra running. And I just haven't looked back. You know, they laugh, oh, there's a so-and-so coming up, and I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Oh, that's not far enough for you. Well, it's not that it's not far enough, it's just to the point I no longer desire to do those type of races. I'm not into road races at all. If it's, you know, unless it or lesser mileage, I don't mind. So if it happens to be a marathon, and if it's on trail, I'm gonna do it. Marathon, on the road, I'm not doing it. It's not my shtick. It's not what I want to do.
So do you find it's harder on your body to run on road? I mean, joints and everything?
No, because that's all I know.
Okay.
I only race on the trail.
Okay, so you train on the road and you race on the trail.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. Wow, that's interesting.
Every now and then we'll go out and adventure into the trails. Usually once the weather has stabilized here, because like today I woke up and it was 1.5 inches of snow out. And it was very icy in certain places, so the trails would have been jacked up on a day like today, okay? And the footing would have been off. It would have been iced over. So probably maybe about now, because it's late, the sun's come out, but then it'd be a mud fest, okay? Because everything smells, supposed to go to 40 degrees, and it's 39 right now, okay? So it'd be a mud fest due to the sun and the melting and stuff. But, you know, hey. Yeah. My shoes are muddy. They stay muddy. They're in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to get dirty, trails ain't for you.
That's true.
Yeah, socks that will never be a color again. Okay. So.
It's kind of funny because my wife likes to hike, but she doesn't like to get her shoes muddy. And I'm with you as far as a trail runner. You're going to get muddy. You're going to get your feet dirty. You're going to get, you know,
eat a little dirt too if you fall. And last summer I fell, took my eyes off. So I was looking at something, not the trail, and I happened to turn my head, and next thing I knew, I was airborne.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what the heck? And I hit the ground, boom. And my run buddy, she heard it, but she didn't think it was me.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to say something to me, and like, wait, what? I was on the ground, and I'm looking sideways like this. Because she said, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Just give me a second. Let me reorientate myself." Okay.
Yeah.
Again, I'm horizontal. Okay. And I guess the guy behind me saw me in flight, so now he sped up so he could get to me because he's thinking I'm hurt because I haven't moved yet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Are you okay? I can go get somebody." I'm like, no, I'm good. I just need to, give me a second, you know. Of course, first thing I did was look at my watch to make sure my watch was okay.
Yeah.
Forget about my arm and my leg that skidded up with the dirt. I just want to make sure my watch was okay. And I fell on my right side. My watch is on my left. So I knew the watch was good. And it was summertime. Because I had on shorts. I had on capri, so luckily it took the brunt of the skidding, okay? But I felt that the next day, okay? So,
yeah,
it was unpleasant. I love trail running. I am afraid of heights. I learned that. So everything I do, I try to keep it semi-level.
Okay.
Potawatomi let me know I was afraid of heights because that was almost 7,500 feet elevation.
Okay, so you'd be on places where you'd have a drop off next to you.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me. Okay, and even if somebody is with me, it doesn't matter because they can't save you if you go over. Okay?
You could be over the edge, and nobody could catch you. Yeah,
no. And that just really freaks me out. So I have it. I'm going to try to work on that a little bit. But I think I need to train more like that, opposed to leave the pavement and then hit a race just like that. I need something in between. And that ain't on the agenda right now. So I know there's plenty of races I can do that I don't have to hit elevation. But one thing I will say about trail running, the beauty of nature that I have learned to embrace. I've never been exposed to that. I grew up urban in the city. The only trees I saw were outside, you know, nothing like the trees in a trail setting, you know, the tranquility and peacefulness, you know, it's just, there's nothing like it. And you get out there and you can get in a zone. And then sometimes I just stop just to listen to nothing, which is fabulous, except for the birds or something scurrying over in the bush, as long as it's not a snake, okay? And I think it's really cool. I really admire those who can go out there and run the trails like nobody's business. You know, like a Jim Walmsley, Killian Jornet. Well, he's a mountain runner, which I think is insane. Okay, and Courtney DeWalter, you know, she just won the Trans Comerica something. She won it today, 128 kilometers. And so I live vicariously through them, you know. They scurry up those switchbacks and single pass, like it's a walk in the park, you know. And I just want to get from A to B without, you know, losing a limb or something.
Yeah. You know? Well, and then going downhill, I've seen some runners, even runners who are not elite, that, you know, they can go downhill, and I look at them going, no, you know, yeah, even when I was young, I didn't have that kind of confidence to go and do something
You know, the higher you go, you got to come down.
Yeah.
And it's even worse coming down. Because I used to think, oh, you just fly downhill. You need to take your time. And when I was at Pottawatomie, these two ladies, they kind of took me under their wing. And they showed me how when you're going downhill, you don't go forward because the center of gravity is going to pull you forward. So if you walk down sideways, side by side like that with your feet, then your weight is differently distributed. And I'm like, that's not going to work. I can't do that. I've never done that before. So they did it with me. I'm like, oh, that's true. So I try to remember all those little tidbits that I've met from people, you know, along the way. And but, you know, like I said, trail running is cool. You know, I'll do it in a minute. I don't care about falling, eating a little dirt, getting muddy. I don't care, you know. That's what they got washing machines for.
That's right. Well, and I found oftentimes my falls come on, you know, not on rocks, but because I'm watching, but there'll be the small root that's in the middle of a trail that's totally clear and it sticks up about an inch, and I'll catch on that and end up in the bushes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And, yeah, it's the clear trails that I tend to fall on, not the rocky ones.
Not the gnarly ones, no. It's the ones you can see plain as day. And it's like, really? Nothing out here? You fall? Really? Problem? Yeah. Check your eyesight, okay?
You kind of let your mind relax a little bit when you're.
That's it. As soon as you let your mind relax, that's where the slip ups come. You know, I think to me with trail running, I'm always on my guard, and as soon as I let that guard down, that's when stuff happens. You know, and you don't want to run all tense and everything because that just makes your body even worse. But you just can't go like you're tiptoeing through the tulips, you know, at least for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
At least for me. But so, you know, last year and going into this year was kind of funky.
Mm-hmm. That happened to a lot of people. I mean, I didn't do any races last year at all. And I've talked to several runners that I know, and they kind of cut back on their mileage and have, you know, done other things or just kind of backed off a little bit. And
last year I went to Tulsa. Start back in August. Is a race here called Terra Sands. It's an 8-hour ultra. You run as many miles as you can in 8 hours. I did almost 30.
Oh, okay.
And that's in August, so you're like a baked potato, okay?
You went to Tulsa in August?
No, this is here. That one is here.
No, there. Okay. Okay.
And then in October, I did the Pumpkin Holler 100.
You did?
Yeah, that's 100K.
100K, okay. What did you think of that course?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Have you done that before?
I did my 100 out there, 100 miles.
Well, there was 100 mile and 100K. So yeah. My coach told me to do, because I had Tunnel Hill coming up in November. She said, you need to do the 100K. You should not do back-to-back 100. So I'm like, okay. So Tulsa was hot as Hades, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We got there. It was 89 degrees. And they said they had never experienced that heat before that time of year.
Yeah, so when was Tulsa?
Mm-hmm.
What time of year was it?
October. Halloween.
October. Okay, yeah, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is the pumpkin holler. So
Pumpkin hollers. You flew. So you flew into Tulsa, and then you drove. Okay.
Drove.
Yeah.
And it just kept getting. We left Chicago, Evanston, 35 degrees, butt kicking cold. Mm-hmm. When we pulled into Tulsa, it was 88, 89. Yeah. And we're like, whoa. But we've been tracking the weather, so I had like four sets of clothes. Okay, so I had everything that I needed. If it would have changed to something else, I had those clothes. Got cold, I had those clothes. So it mm-hmm. didn't matter. And that was, it's 2 30-mile loops. And to me, that was all rocks.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's gravel roads, but the rocks on the gravel that is, it's, you know, they're like 2 inches in diameter almost.
Yeah. I thought I was running on boulders at one point. Okay. And it's very hilly. And then those of us who were doing the 100K, we had to go up this hill, like the Jesus territory, and come back down because we had to get additional mileage in order.
Oh, you had to run that hill?
Yeah.
Okay. They offered that to the 100-mile runners as a bonus.
No, it wasn't a bonus for me. Okay?
I did it. I told my wife told me not to, but because she knew it was an extra mile, and she says, you know, just you're going to end up DNFing if you go up there. And I was like, but I had, you know, I had not run on roads at all that year. I mean, I trained on trails for the whole year. And it's just like, I need some elevation. I need to go up something like that because that was almost like a trail.
So, yeah, that was ugly. But we finished it, you know, and then came back home. And November, it was time for Tunnel Hill. And Tunnel Hill was not good.
Wasn't it kind of snowy this year?
Oh, it was bad. it was bad. We set up our tent the day before the race, and put everything in there. And then a snowstorm hit, and it collapsed the tent.
Oh, my.
So it was not a pretty sight.
So it wasn't just a little bit of snow. I mean, I saw the snow, but it was
brutal, lots.
I guess.
Especially if you weren't ready for it, you know. And they said it was going to – they said a dusting. I don't know what their terminology of dusting means for them. But that was a little bit more than the dusting, okay?
Yeah, enough to clap your tent.
I mean, yeah, and the weight of it, because we woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and you couldn't even see out the window. It was a blizzard.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay. And then
the race started at what, 6 o'clock?
No, race starts at 7.
Okay.
And it has stopped, and the sun came out. But now the sun is out, and it's a mud fest, okay? Because mm-hmm. everything started melting more or less. And it was just bad. And then this was my third time for Tunnel Hill. And I still only made it to the 50-miler. My race buddy got sick. And I wasn't going to leave her on the trails. I couldn't do that. So I stayed with her. So we both completed 50.
Okay. Is Tunnel Hill, was that like a rail to trail? Or was it?
It's
a normal trail.
It's
semi flat. Okay.
Yeah. Out and back, and then you go out the other way and you come back like that. Like go this way, you turn around, come through, then you go back out the other way. So you're just making one big in and out, back in and out, one big loop, kind of sort of. Yeah, but it got really cold at night. It dropped down. That's the thing. During the day, kind of okay. But at night, it got down to like almost single digits.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
It was quite a swing. If it was melting during the day and then single digits at night, that's a big change.
And a lot of people got caught because they dressed for the coolness, you know, with the shorts and the singlets and stuff. And that air shifted around 4:35 o'clock. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So when I came back in, I knew I had to put on different clothes or additional clothes, you know, to be ready. And people were freezing. I'm like, I'm good. Okay. Isla doesn't like to be cold, so.
Well, you train. I mean, you train in all kinds of weather. I mean, you said at the beginning you found out you hated the treadmill and you don't like running indoors. And so, yeah, when I see you on Facebook, I mean, you're out there. Yeah. You know, unless it's thunder and lightning, you're out there. You know.
Got it.
Doing it.
Because if you run inside every time something happens outside, what happens if your race happens that way? Even if you run in the summer, the rains can hit. And, you know, to me, that's so psychological. Like, oh, my God, it's raining so hard. I don't want to get wet. Da-da-da-da-da. Where you're like, oh, okay. Just let me pull up my hood. Let me put on my baseball cap. You know, like that. And I have people who will not run in the rain. Now, like I said, I don't do thunder and lightning. That's insane. Okay. I don't want to be a lightning rod for anything. And then even with snow, if there's like an ice storm, because it's just not safe. First, I have to get to where I run. So that means I have to drive. And I'm not going to put myself in danger, to go run. I don't have spikes on my car. Okay. Maybe on my but not on my car. And if it's really inclement weather, we don't go. And in the winds here, you know, we can get down to like a minus 30 something with the wind chill. That's not safe. That's not good on your lungs. It's not good on your skin. Okay. So, you know, it's common sense. But bar none of those issues, I'm going to be out there. I run in all weather. So when something happens at a race, I'm like, oh, okay. I just go into my goodie bag, put this on, you know, or run back to the tent. Let me go get this because I got this. And that's just how it is. And then after Tunnel Hill, I went to Across the Years, which is in Phoenix. And that's the event is for 6 days. But you can choose what you want to do, what events you want to do throughout the whole
thing. What do they offer? I mean, I know they offer a 6 day. What are the other options?
Oh, you can do the 100. You can do the 48 hours. You can do, I think, a team. You can do the full 6 days. You get as many miles as you can in 6 days. What else? I like it because you can leave and come back. As long as, you know, the clock doesn't stop ticking. So you need to be aware of that. But, there's a whole bunch of events that you can partake of. And I saw people, when I got out there on Friday to pick up my packet, people were doing like a death march. I'm like, what the heck? Then it hit me. Oh, they've been out here since Wednesday. Okay. Because it starts on Wednesday. You could tell those who have been out there since Wednesday. And, and I did that. My race started on Saturday. My friend did the 48 hours. Even though I had 72, I wanted the records to show, not the hours. I need the records to show an ultra sign up for a 100 miler.
100 miles, right.
You know, I won't do an hour race because it doesn't equate that in ultra sign up. I wanted to post it. I did a 100 miler.
So what kind of time did they give you for the 100 miles? Did they, I mean, since you signed up for 100 miles, did they give you a time limit then?
I started on Saturday and I had till Tuesday. So I had 72 hours to complete that.
Okay.
And we ran into a monsoon. It rained like nobody's business out there. They said they had not seen rains like this. So what am I, a magnet for special weather? And they didn't call the race because they said this is a timed race. So if you want to stop, that's up to you. But we're not going to call the race. And we were in the aid station for about 45 minutes because there was no way you could run. You couldn't see. That's how hard the rain was. And it was lightning. That was not cool. Yeah. And, unfortunately, my back went out and things just start spiraling downhill out of control after that. And I ran out of time and I made it to 98.4.
That's close. Very, very close.
And had I had another 2 hours, I probably could have made it, but I was completely bent over in terms of my back. I could not stand up.
And, so I've seen had that happen in races where people and you're back. You say you're back right out. So you were leaning to the side, not over to the front.
I was leaning to the side, and then eventually I started leaning to the front.
Okay.
So it was not a pretty sight, and I couldn't straighten up if my life had depended on it. And
so how does that happen? I mean, I've seen. I mean, I was in a race, and there was a guy who came across the finish line, and he was almost not 90 degrees, but I mean, he was leaning a long ways over.
Yeah,
what is the cause of that?
Well, I've done a little research, and my coach looked into it, and she feels it was a lot due to lack of electrolytes imbalance.
Okay. So not a muscle issue. I mean, a muscle issue, but more of the electrolytes, not something that was a structural issue.
Right. And now that I look back even more, it was more than not taking in enough drink liquids. And what I did was when my back started bothering me, I started taking stuff off, meaning that I didn't need the pressure on my back. So I took off my hydration vest. Okay. And I figured, I left. Then I had my handheld. Got to the point I couldn't carry my handheld because it hurt that much. So I left the handheld at the aid station. So there's only two aid stations, the main one and the one at the half. So these are 1 mile loops you're doing, okay? And my body was used to taking in every 15 minutes. So now I've taken that away.
Right.
So I'm not having any input till I get to the main aid station, taking in stuff, and then I'm barren until I get all the way back around again. So that just, my body's like, okay, you're not giving me anything. So this is what's going to happen. And so one of the runners, suggested, you got too much gear on, you need to take that off and da 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 da. And I should have just kept it. I should not have taken anything off, because I am used to running with my pack. I train with my pack. A lot of people don't. I don't want to carry anything, all of that, but I feel at a disadvantage because now I can't drink when I want to, right?
Right.
I have to wait till I get to wherever it is to get my fluids. And that pulled me totally out of my race, my training psyche, or whatever you want to call that. So hard lessons learned, but I am going back.
Mm-hmm.
I will be back.
Are you going back this year?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That's one of the races in my list this year. So that's what I'm looking at is to do across the years. So,
well, stay in touch. Let me know, because I'll look for you. The camaraderie out there was just off the chain. I mean, so many people came to my rescue. So many people jumped in with me. That I just, and I don't know, I didn't know any of these people. It just, one guy says, I've been watching you forever. Can I walk with you? I said, dude, you need to go on, because you could be here for another hour and 20 years. He says, no, I'll get you all the way back around. And he did. He literally stayed with me a full loop, and then he went on. Somebody else saw me. They jumped in. Can I get you anything? Can I help you with anything? You know, one guy tried to give me, try to fit me for a back brace. I couldn't straighten up enough for him to get it on me, and then he couldn't get it tight enough for me. And so he says, okay, forget the back brace, I'm just gonna walk with you. And so many people were so caring and stuff, and that really touched me, because I'm not used to, I'm a very proud person. I don't like to ask for help. I was like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
I know I look like I'm half dead, but I'm good. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to do this on my own, right?
Exactly. And it's just, and I don't want to take anybody out of their race. I'm very cognizant of that. I chose to do this, and this is, this is what has happened. So I have to, be in the pain cave or the suffer fest,
Right.
But,
And imagine the six that you said, the 6 day runners, were they like going for the entire time, or were they or trying to go like long distances? You know, I was, you know, you could kind of choose your own race, I would guess. Is that kind of what the, you know, since you can come and go?
For the 6 days, you are going strictly for the miles, okay?
Yeah.
So I know some went in, laid down, came back, you know, and I'm pretty sure they had a plan. I'm going to do X number of miles a day or X number of miles an hour. Then I'm going to stop and do this. I mean, I knew the third place winner, and she did almost 300 miles, okay?
300 miles in 6 days, yeah.
And she walked it, okay? So yeah. Isla's not going to see 6 days. I won't say never. As soon as I do something, it comes back to bite me, okay? So I'll just say not now.
Yeah. Let's see. I've been, since I did my, finished my 100, I have slowed, my pace has slowed down enough that I'm, you know, the cutoffs that are for some races are, you know, 30, 32 hours. Mm-hmm. And for me, the 100, that's getting tighter as a cutoff. And so I started thinking, oh, well, a timed race. And it was, you know how we runners do, and your mind goes, well, you know, okay, 48 hours, I could do 100 miles. And so then I think, you know, I'd run 48 hours straight. But then I look at, well, they're doing 6 days. Can I run 12 hours a day for 6 days? And your mind starts spinning. And, you know, next thing I know, I'm going to be, you know, can I do 300 miles?
I don't want to be out there that long. Also, I don't want to pull myself stretching out 100 miles for 6 days. I don't want to do that because now that doesn't let me train for the allotted time that they give for 100 miles. Okay. So I don't want to get too far off the 30-ish mile marks that they are. So my goal is to train better, get better at keep it an end to the 30 to 34 cutoff times, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. There are some races they give you 36 hours. You know, there's one in Wisconsin, it's called the Badger 100. He gives you 36 hours, okay? And then there's another race, what is it called? I don't know the acronym for it, but you get the hours of your age.
Okay.
So, but you have to be at least 50.
Okay. It's called the Masters.
No, it's called something else. But you have to be at least 50 years old to run this race. You can have a pacer who's younger, but the runner themselves have to be 50. So 50 you get older. 50 hours. Okay. If you're 70, you get 70 hours, you know, like that. So,
and it's 100 miles. And it's a 100 mile race.
There's several races. So
there's several.
You can choose what you want to do. So,
okay. Interesting.
I mean, I figure, you know, I'd be six. I'm a look at it for next year. Cause Capture is going to run it next year. So I want to be out there to see her. And
well, when you remember it, send me the link, because that's that'd be something I'd be interested in as well.
I figure I'm 65, I'll be 66 this year. I get 66 hours to do 100. Well, hell, I can do that blindfolded, okay? But I heard it's a lot of fun, and they said don't let the older people fool you, because they'll wipe you out.
Oh my goodness, yes. When I ran the Pumpkin Holler, I was looking at, you know, my age group, you know, what's kind of, and there were guys my age who were running, you know, a sub 24 for 100. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, just.
So, yeah. You know, all in all, you know, I learned a lot of things from last year to this year. Once I got over the DNFs, you know, they still don't set well with me. Mm-hmm. But you can't dwaddle there. You have your pity party, and you move on, and then you learn. You look back and learn. And I have a great coach, Loretta Tobolsky Horn. She's with Ornery Mule Racing. She got me there for Tunnel Hill, and then she got me there for Tulsa, and she got me there for Across the Years. So she knows the work I put in. But she's a great person. Nobody will take her place in terms of coaching me. She knows how to adjust my schedule when it comes to work, or if I don't feel good, or if I'm in one of those what I call blue funk days when I don't want to do anything. You know, she's like, okay, but can you do this? how about trying to do this? So she knows how to get me, you know.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
But she's good at what she does, and she lets me simmer down a little bit, and she'll come back. Well, let's look at this, okay? She's very hands-on, and I really like that. And so now we're going to, you know, start gearing up for some of the things I have looking forward to this year. You know, I'm not going to run. I'm not going to race as much as this year as I did last year, I think. You know, so. You think.
So what do you have? What are your kind of things that you're planning on this year besides across the year?
I'm looking at the Eagle Up Ultra in Canton, Ohio.
Okay.
It's a 24-hour. So you run as much as you can in 24 hours. I figured that would be a base training, base run for the Badger 100, which is in August. Okay. Mm-hmm. And no. Badger is, Eagle Up is in June. Badger's in July, July 29th. So at the end of July.
Okay.
And then in August, I have a race. It's called Terra Sands, which is here about 15 minutes from my house. I've done that for this will be my fourth year doing it. So it's an 8-hour run as you can. It's a timed race. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'll be really buckling down for across the years. And I was looking for an October race, but I think I'm not going to do that and put everything into across the years. You know, concentrated on my fuel, you know, my hydration, you know, plans A, B, C, and just get across the damn finish line, you know. And but my fueling, not even the fueling, my hydration has to be on point, and my coach knows that, so we're working on that now while I'm in the early stages of training. So
I was just curious, how do you do anything special for monitoring your blood sugar and trying to regulate that? Because I mean that I think I would guess would add a different dimension to your hydration plan and your fueling.
Well, I'm no longer diabetic, so
Okay.
I haven't been on meds for going on 3.5 years now.
Okay.
I brought my weight down. I'm a vegan now, and I've changed a whole lifestyle change. And my A1C scores have gone from 6.5 to 5.6. So I've been taking off all medication.
Wow. Well, that's a real blessing. That's great.
Yes, it is. And so when people say, "Oh, I can," I'm like, "Oh, yes, you can," because I don't like pills. Okay. And so I had the choice, either take pills or get better. Or change my lifestyle, you know, so mm-hmm. I opted to change my lifestyle. And, you know, I pay attention. Oh, okay, I have my cheat things. I love my Ruffles potato chips, okay? But mm-hmm. I'm vegan. You know, there's no eggs in those, okay?
Yeah.
There's no sugar in that, okay? But, I'm still very cautious what I eat. But being vegan, that takes away, you know, I don't have no dairy, no meat, no fish, no. I love it. You know, plant-based people, you know, plant-based and vegan are two different things. Okay. Cause some people are plant-based and they still eat other things. I am vegan. Okay.
Okay.
So
for somebody who is a meat eater, tell me the difference between plant-based and vegan.
Well, you know, some people who are plant-based, they tend to stay more, to me, plant-based is kind of sort of like being vegetarian. They still may mm-hmm. eat a little fish or a little this or a little that. And being vegan, I eat nothing that has a mother. That's how I put it.
Okay. Well, and then also eggs are out too.
Well, it has a mother. It comes from a chicken.
Oh, that's okay. That's true. That's true.
Okay. So, yeah. And so it works for me. It's not for everybody, but it works for me.
Well, and I know that there are people who, you know, that, you know, there are people on both ends. I know. And I say if it works for you, that's a good thing.
And the mere fact I've seen my medication go away, everything, all my numbers are back in check. Oh, yeah. I'll stay vegan. And I bring everything with me when I run, when I go to races. I make sure I have my own stuff. I don't count on the aid stations to have what I need. So whenever I get into the town or the city that I'm racing in, the first thing I do is go to a Walmart or something so I can get, if I'm driving, it's different because I can bring it with me. If I'm flying, then I go to the store and, you know, when I flew to Phoenix, I stayed with a friend. So I was able to, she took me to the store and I was able to get the things that I needed for my, my own personal aid station. But across the years, they had everything.
Okay. That's cool.
They had every vegan, not a problem. They had vegan everything. So if you were vegan, you were taken care of. That's one race I would feel safe. I'm not worrying about having to bring stuff to. I brought it anyway because I didn't know. Uh-huh. But when I pulled into the aid station, he said, what can we get you? I said, oh, I'm vegan. Oh, you're vegan? Oh, here you go. This is it. It was like my own personal smorgasbord, okay? And it was fabulous, you know? So I'm like, okay, note to self. Across the years, you don't have to bring as much. You know, I'll still bring a little backup just in case, you know. Mm-hmm. But they had vegan burgers, black bean burgers. They had all kinds of sauteed vegetables. They had everything, you know, pasta with no meat sauce, you know, vegan sauce. And I was just so grateful. Broth, veggie broth, you know. Yeah. They had a grilled cheese with vegan cheese, you know. Yeah. 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that was really good. Okay. French fries, which I would kill for, you know, and tater tots. Yeah, that was me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had it all.
Are you, when you're running those kinds of time or that distance, do you ever find anything that your body can't eat or have difficulty with solid food?
You know, I switch over to solid food when I get deeper into the race.
Okay.
I usually start out with Tailwind.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I find, like, you know, I'm hungry, so I eat.
Okay.
That's when I know Tailwind's not working. I mean, it's not working. It's not sustaining me.
Mm-hmm.
So I always have some Lara bars on me. I always have, it's called My Energy. They're vegan plant-based gels that I have on me. It's kind of like baby food, applesauce consistency. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have those on me. I usually pack up potato chips and put them in little miniature snack bags. Those are usually stuffed in, I call the vault, my bra, okay?
Okay.
I like them close so I don't have to be reaching behind my back or anything. So if I don't have enough, if I have my handhelds up here, my collapsible bottles, you know, I don't want to squish the potato chips. So I'll just drop them down my shirt. And they just kind of bounce around when I'm running. So that's, you know, so I have hummus wraps. And then what I do, I cut them up in bite-sized pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just, you know, take out a little piece and have the hummus, a hummus bite, you know, like that. So, yeah, I'm pretty well stocked on me. Again, a lot of runners don't like to run like that. When I'm hungry, I want to be able to satisfy that hunger. I don't want to have to wait till I come all the way around and hit an aid station, okay? Because mm-hmm. now that means my hunger is overtaking my running. And I'm concentrating on the hunger and not my running. So like that. And, you know, that can kind of make you kind of discombobulated. So
okay. So you kind of go by how you feel. You don't have okay.
And I know when I'm tired of drinking the Tailwind, I'm like, okay, I need some food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll eat. Well, if I know I'm coming in to the point where I can stop, go get my stuff, you know.
Right.
I'll stay on the Tailwind until I get to where I need to be to pick up more food or something like that. So yeah, and everything's ready to go. It's all compartmentalized. All I need to do is stash it, and I'm good to go.
That's cool. So, yeah. Well, Isla, thank you a lot for talking to me. I try to keep this
for
about an hour. So
good to see you.
Good to see you again. Okay. Yeah.
And, one of the things across the years. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's something I'm planning on. So. One of the things that I've added is to this is I've called the bridge questions is three questions at the end.
Who approaches the bridge of death must answer me these questions three. The other side he see.
Ask me the questions, Bridgekeeper. I'm not afraid.
What is one food that you miss that you'd like to see at aid stations that they typically don't have?
I could see at aid stations. Huh. Overall races, I just like to see more vegan options.
More vegan options?
Yeah. You know, I don't like eating a bunch of candy and cookies and just a little bit more real food for those of us who don't partake in that. You know, even if you just want to do hummus wrap or avocado wraps, just give us a little bit more of an option. Have something for us there. And have, you know, have veggie broth. If you're going to have chicken broth, how hard is it to have veggie broth for us? You know, just little things like that.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Second question is, what is the strangest, weirdest thing you've seen when you've been out running?
You know, I keep my eye over here where I'm at. We have skunks and coyotes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Isla's not an animal person. Okay. Just saying. Okay. And, yeah, I see them occasionally. I did see an eagle one morning. It must've been a golden eagle because he was brown. So they consider that golden. Mm-hmm. And it was over here where I live. I was on the path. And I saw a guy looking up. I'm like, what is he looking at? Because I'm like, problem? Saw somebody else look up. And then finally I saw this huge bird with a wingspan almost as tall as I was. And he landed on the branch. I'm like, oh my God, that's an eagle. So I've never, and we do have them here in Illinois, but I have never seen it that close before on my path when I run.
Yeah. And and it's an urban, your path is really kind of an urban, I mean, there's urban around it. It's not really like out in the middle of the wilderness.
No, yeah, there's urban around. There's houses on either side. There's a pond. It's right on the lakefront. So I'm running on the lakefront. So I'm like, yeah. Okay, note to self. You saw an eagle. Cool thing.
Well, that's cool. So, okay, third question is, what is a word or phrase that sums up your philosophy of life and running?
A word or a phrase?
Mm-hmm. That you go by.
Live, never give up.
I like that.
Never give up. There's always an alternative. There's always an option. Or don't let the mind tell you what you can't do.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eric. It was so good to see you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ultra Marathon Mindset Podcast. I do enjoy being able to spend time with you here each week. I appreciate you taking the time to listen. The show notes for this episode and others are at ultramindsetpodcast.run. You can find this week's guest there. More information, links to their social media and website. There's also a podcast player there if you want to share this episode with somebody who does not normally listen to podcasts and doesn't have a podcast player on their phone. You can also find links there for my Amazon affiliate link, Crush Your Goals course, a short course I made to help you get your goals in order. Also, you can schedule a chat with me. My online calendar is there. All of these links are at the sidebar if you're on a laptop, or you have to scroll clear to the bottom if you are on a phone. If you did enjoy this episode and you do know somebody who might like it, take it just a minute, send them a link so they can listen. Remember that an ultramarathon mindset is about more than just running. You need a strong mindset for success no matter what your goal in life. And developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Thank you again for listening. I'll see you next time.